This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, April 2, 2021. Good Friday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
He that saw these things has given testimony that you also may believe.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable to my sight, the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. When St. John the Divine writes these things, he says that he wrote them that we might believe. What makes us believe things? When we believe something, it's usually because someone has proven something to us. We can hear people talk, but that is really meaningless until we see them do things. When we look at the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we look at his cross, we look at his death, there are many ways to look at it, and rightfully so. But one of the things that we have to appreciate and understand is the fact that there's one way to look at it that you probably don't think about too much, and that is that it's a test. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was a test. It was the ultimate test. It was a practical exam. I remember when I was in high school, there was such a culture shock when I went into the Marine Corps after high school, because in high school, you just answer a bunch of questions on a test. In the Marine Corps, they actually wanted you to prove that you knew what you were doing with stuff. Yeah, this is the reality. To this day, practical exams are the most burdensome for me. Okay, because you want to do things right. Because I'll be the first to admit, I'll point it out, I can answer stuff. I can talk a good show. But to actually do something, you either do it right or you don't. This is practicality. It's a practical exam. If we look at it, the cross, as a practical exam, we have to understand, for one thing, it shouldn't be unusual, because tests are our Catholic life. We're examined all the time. We are tested by, and practically speaking, not talking a good show. This is what temptations are about. You can sit in here and you can tell me how pious you are. You can look pious. You can wear chapel veils. You can say rosaries all the time. All that good stuff. But when it comes down to brass tacks, how are you living out there? That's a test. Because out there, it's not like sitting in here praying rosary. Out there, you're tempted. Out there, you hang out with people who don't say rosaries. You're out there with people who hate the rosary. They hate Jesus Christ. Okay? They're belligerent to things of the faith. They hate you. It's a test of how you maintain your faith out there. So we're tempted all the time. We're tested. Jesus Christ was tested, practically speaking. You know, temptation of the desert, where actually he starts his earthly ministry. The only big difference between Jesus Christ and us, sometimes we do well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we pass, a lot of times we fail. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was tested yet without sin. There's the words from the writing of St. Paul to the Hebrews that we heard in the second reading today. We heard in the preface throughout pre-Lent and Lent that our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in every way we are, every way, yet did not sin. You would think that the tests were limited to Jesus Christ because he's the God-man, but the cross was also a test. All these tests I'm talking about is God testing us. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was the people who talked a good show. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. They talked a good show about religion, but they took it so far as to test God. It wasn't just a test of Jesus being obedient to the cross. It was a test that people gave God. Prove something. They wanted to prove. Like I said, our Lord Jesus Christ was practically tested. He took this comprehensive exam and he passed with flying colors. But at the end of the day, there is a question that he poses to people. It's not just, hey, watch me walk on water. Hey, watch me raise the dead, cure blind people. I want you to believe something. that's kind of hard to believe. John chapter 10. He's speaking to the Pharisees. I and the Father are one. That doesn't mean he's really close to God, but he says that. A lot of people in our day and age, a lot of liberals, they think, say he's just claiming to be close to God. He was just a great prophet. He's claiming to be God. Where do you get that? How the Pharisees reacted. Because as soon as he says, I and the Father are one, what do? Take up stones to cast at him. They're going to kill him. And he says, many good works have I showed you for my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? They answer, we don't stone you because of any good works, but because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. This is the test that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. We can call King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and all that stuff, but down to brass tacks, foundationally, do you believe that Jesus Christ was God Almighty? If you do, you're the only ones. That's what makes you Christians. Nobody else believes that. Seminole State College used to do a tour group through here to talk about church architecture. And I used to give a spiel about an hour long, and there was a Muslim girl in that class, and she looked, and she was very attentive to class, and she said, you've talked about Jesus the whole time we've been in here, but you've never mentioned God once. And I looked at her, I said, Jesus is God. And it looked like I punched that woman in the face. Blasphemy, what need have we of any further witnesses? They do believe that Jesus is God. He is God. That's the test. Are you going to pass it or are you not? He passed his. I said before, is that just a matter of Jesus being tested and not just a matter of you being tested, whether he's God or not? Because you're putting God to the test. Because so many of us want him to prove this or prove that. We try to make deals with him when we got bad things going on. Oh, if this will happen, I'll do this. And if I'll do this. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. And some of the greatest saints that we have, that's how they started on the road. I promise I'll go to a monastery if you do this. Okay. And now we got great saints. So sometimes it works. A lot of times, though, it's nothing less than tempting God. Because you generally don't fulfill what you say you're going to do to the letter. You can't put God to the test. But even if you do, he'll pass it. He passed it with Jesus Christ. It's interesting to see that, this whole thing that they were going to test God himself, they didn't understand who the Messiah was going to be. They didn't know God was going to clothe himself with flesh and come and dwell among us. They didn't know that. They're still looking. And when he showed up, I'm just not a great prophet. I'm just not a great sage. I and the Father are one. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're the same thing. I'm God, is what he says. You just have eyes to see and ears to hear. People don't like that truth. They've never liked that truth. They never like when people claim to be close to God. Oh, holier than thou. Yes, we are. Yes, you are holier than somebody who doesn't believe in God. You should be proud in a holy sense of that. You should never shy away from that. That's faithlessness if you shy away from looking at somebody who's a pagan and say, I'm no different than you. That's sacrilege, it's blasphemy. Take into consideration what you receive at your baptism. You're very different than they are. You're better. That's just objective fact. They don't like to hear that stuff, though. Like I said, they've never liked to hear that. The Book of Wisdom in the Old Testament. Let us lie in wait for this righteous man because he's inconvenient to us and opposes our actions. He reproaches us for sins against the law and accuses us of sin against our training. He professes to have knowledge of God and calls himself a child of the Lord. He became to us a reproof to our thought. The very sight of him is a burden to us because his manner of life is unlike that of others. And we are strange. We are considered by him to be something base. He avoids our ways as unclean. He calls the last end to righteous, the happy, and boasts of God as his Father. Let us see if the words are true. Let us test what will happen at the end of his life. For if the righteous man is God's son, he will help him and will deliver him from the hand of his adversaries. Let us test him with insult, torture, and we may find out how gentle he is and make trial of his forbearance. Let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to what he says, he will be protected. Nothing new under the sun. People don't like when you get close to God, because they're not. This isn't triumphalism. You should glory in that. It's a grace. It is a magnificent thing that you have going for you, that the Holy Spirit, by his grace, has called you out of the darkness of the world into the marvelous light of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross, that practical test that was given by the people of God to God, prove it. Pharisees looked at, wagged their heads. If he be king of the Jews, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. No, they won't. No, they won't. Because guess what? He did something even better. He didn't come down the cross, because that would just have been a live man who was really strong to come down from a cross. Could have explained that away. He died, and then he overcame death. And so he got extra credit in the test that they were given. They just wanted to see him come down from the cross. He rose from the dead. This is what we celebrate starting tomorrow evening. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while he was hanging on that cross, while he was being nailed to that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've always been befuddled by that prayer. Always let me know how much better Jesus is than me. Because it would have taken 12, 15 Roman soldiers to hold me down to get nails run through my hands. Okay, you're paying for this. Jesus just laid there and then prayed for them. But if you look at that prayer, it's absolutely correct. Because they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't believe he was God. A lot of them were just taken about by mob mentality. They didn't know what they were doing. Yeah, the Romans are executing. They're just cops. They're following orders. He's a bad guy. He's causing trouble. We're doing our job. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know doing their job is killing the Lord of glory. This is the reality of the test that was given. And when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, guess what? It doesn't apply to us. Because we do know who he is. We know his truth claims, objectively. And if we know them, then all of a sudden the tables are turned and it's our test. Do you live like you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Do you venerate? I'm preaching to the choir here because you're all here. One of the stats is only one third of Catholics say they're going to attend Mass Easter Sunday. That means two thirds of people who call themselves Catholics are faithless. They're unbelievers. People that are here today and will be here on Sunday and the vigil Mass, they believe. They believe. And they'll worship God no matter what the cost may be to them. We need to appreciate that. We're given a test every day, just like our Lord was. He passed his with flying colors. We need to do so also in Father and Son and the Holy Ghost.